The capacity for grit is what the writers of Scripture call perseverance. Perseverance rises above the hard to reach the hope. Some call that grit. Some...
resilience. Whatever you call it, it's simply the shape of a heart that refuses to quit walking the path of God's blessings.
Jesus challenges us to shine the light of His blessing.
Light that won't quit in the darkest spaces and resilient blessings for broken places. Because ultimately, we've been blessed to be a blessing.
Gritty light is the unwavering shine of a life that won't be extinguished by the world's gloom.
It's the radiance of a soul that refuses to let darkness have the final word.
It's time to shine, not despite of the darkness, but because of it.
We are called to be something extraordinary. We are called to be light. We are called to bring resilient blessings to a broken world.
So let's roll up our sleeves. Let's step out of our comfort zones. And let's learn what it truly means to be the gritty light our world so desperately needs.
Are you ready to shine?
A mother runs into the bedroom when she hears her 7-year-old son scream. She finds his 2-year-old sister pulling his hair. She gently released the little girl's grip and said gently to the boy, "There now, she didn't mean it. She doesn't know that it hurts." He nodded his acknowledgement and she leaves the room. As she starts down the hall, the little girl now screams. So rushing back in, she asked, "What happened?" The little boy replied, "Well, now she knows how it feels." Well, hey, welcome to Calvary at Home, and a special shout out to my friends at Calvary Tyrone who are listening in. Today, we're diving into another powerful message from the Sermon on the Mount as we look at Matthew 5, 38 to 42. In these verses, Jesus challenges us with a radical way of living that reflects God's grace in our interactions with others. So let's read the passage together. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. As for the one who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would open up our eyes so that we can hear and see exactly what it is you have for each of us today as we lean into you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may have heard the phrase, an eye for an eye makes the world blind. What's a commentary on the idea that retaliating with hate and bitterness will only intensify the world's hatred? To avenge or seek revenge means to inflict harm for harm done to yourself. Revenge. Without it, where would many of the movies that we dearly love be? There are so many television shows and movies that are about this topic. And on the rare occasion at the end of the movie, the main character finds out that there's more to life than revenge. But revenge is still generally the main story. You know, revenge comes natural to us, and sadly, there's something about it that at times seems enjoyable. In the hallway at school, a group of people call you a name related to your race or economic status, and everybody laughs. You're betrayed by your spouse or your ex or a friend. You're in line for a promotion, but a coworker lies about you and gets the job. Or maybe it's a series of little things, like your sister borrows and ruins your favorite sweater. Your dad reads your diary. Your husband cuts you down in front of others. Or your neighbor puts a dent in your new car and says it's not really a big deal. Or maybe somebody you love was killed by a drunk driver, or abused you, or raped you. What do you do? Our natural tendency is to retaliate. But this is not a behavior that a Christ follower should partake in. We are part of a different kingdom. We have a different king, and we should have a different character, and we should behave differently. So in the few minutes that we have together today, let's look at 4 things to help us better understand this passage. Number 1, we need to understand the backdrop of retaliation. You know, the phrase eye for eye and tooth for tooth comes from the Old Testament, and specifically the laws that were given to the Israelites. This principle, known as lex talionis, or the law of retaliation, was intended to limit retribution and ensure justice. However, and over time, it became a justification for personal vengeance. So, Jesus addresses this distorted understanding. He challenges his listeners to look beyond the letter of the law and embrace a deeper, more profound principle, that of love and mercy. And because of our sin nature, revenge comes natural to each of us. It's how we desire to respond when we feel that we have been wronged. This had become common in Jesus' day for people to feel as if they could take vengeance into their own hands, and they were within the bounds of the law to do so. In fact, if you look at Exodus 21:24, if you look at Leviticus 24:20, or Deuteronomy 19:21, you'll see that there was a principle that was to be used in the executing of the law by those in charge of executing justice. These passages were being used to say that it was okay for a person to seek personal vengeance. Again, Jesus is correcting this wrong interpretation of the law. Here's what we need to remember. Jesus stated plainly that he did not come to abolish the law, however, to fulfill it. He again begins by saying, "You have heard that it was said," and then he quotes a portion of the law. Jesus has repeatedly corrected wrong understandings of the law after this phrase, and he does it again here. You know, the law was not about seeking to get your own vengeance upon a person. Jesus shows that the opposite is true. We don't seek revenge for ourselves. Retaliation is a sinful reaction to being sinned against, or sometimes thinking that we've been sinned against. But here's the truth of the matter. Law enforcement officials, judges, governors, senators, representatives, and the president have been put in place to carry out justice on the earth, even though at times they're going to do it imperfectly. We are not to take the law into our own hands. We are not to get vengeance for ourselves. This is applicable to everyday life. So let me ask you, how often do you feel like those in charge of you have wronged you? How often do you feel as if you are getting into trouble for something that you didn't even do? Or even more applicable, how often do you feel as if someone else is getting by with doing something to you that they should be getting into trouble for? So this is the context of retaliation. In a world where the natural inclination is to seek revenge or to get even, Jesus introduces a radical idea for us to be gritty light, and it's called grace. So number two, grace over retaliation. So what is grace? Well, grace is an unmerited favor. It's giving what is not deserved. And sadly, in our culture, grace has become a religious word. But what does grace look like in the real world? A world where hurt happens, a world of angry exes, political divides, and racial injustice, a world of evil. Jesus calls us to respond to wrongdoing, not with retaliation, but with grace. And for clarification, when he tells us to turn the other cheek, he is not advocating for passivity or weakness. Instead, he is inviting us into a deeper understanding of our identity as his children. Who doesn't like getting a gift, right? I personally love getting gifts, and I want you to think about a time with me when you received a gift that came as a huge surprise to you. And it was something you wouldn't have expected, and it didn't happen at Christmas or on your birthday. Just out of the blue, someone cared enough for you to express their love and kindness. Perhaps it included some kind of sacrifice from the giver. My personal life verses are Ephesians 2:8-10. And it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God." Now looking back, how much did receiving that gift mean to you? Well, the Father has given us the greatest gift of all through his Son Jesus and his sacrifice of love on the cross. Jesus paid it all, and he gave each of us a free gift. That gift is salvation from an eternity separated from him. And wow, what an incredible gift that is. Now, think with me about a time when you were wronged. Perhaps it was similar to one of the things that I mentioned earlier. What would it look like to respond with grace instead of retaliation? Here's what grace says. Grace says, "I choose to forgive even when it's hard. I choose to love even when I feel hurt." And it doesn't mean that we ignore justice. It does, however, mean that we elevate the conversation to one of mercy and love. You see, kingdom principles go above and beyond that of the world. Not only are we to rest in God's faithfulness and righteousness, but there's also a behavior that is different. So think back with me to your BC days. BC stands for before Christ. What traits marked you? What areas of your life did you have a short fuse? And after salvation, it's not as if we are now perfect, but there should definitely be a marked improvement. Well, this is grace. And had God not given us grace, we would be terrible, terrible sinners. We are to be people who have the strength of the meek. And this doesn't mean that we stand by and allow ourselves to be overrun. Even Jesus gave answers to people when accused and confronted. But we are to be people who are given grace where most people would want to retaliate. So let us be people who are gracious, loving, and caring even when we are treated poorly. Jesus showed us grace, so therefore we show grace to others. Number three, going the extra mile. So in this passage, Jesus continues with examples of going above and beyond what is expected. And when he mentions going the extra mile, he refers to a practice in which Roman soldiers could compel civilians to carry their gear for a mile. It was an impressive act. Yet, Jesus teaches us to carry that burden for 2 miles. Why? Well, because grace transforms our perspective. So imagine being compelled to carry a burden that represents injustice. Jesus calls us to transform that burden into an opportunity for grace. And when we choose to go the extra mile, we not only defy expectations, but we also become vessels of God's love. It's a chance to demonstrate the power of grace in a world that often promotes self-interest and revenge. So how can we easily put this into action? You see, in today's culture, it's easy for many people to say that they are a Christian. They'll even put this in their social media bios. But what does it really mean? Is it just a word, or are we different? Are we set apart? Are we apprentices of Jesus? And I personally believe that there is a distinct difference between being a Christian and being a fully devoted follower of Jesus, an apprentice. You see, an apprentice's life is marked by the fruits of the Spirit. It's the evidence of our transformation. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 gives us the list of these fruits that should be evident. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And we're talking true shalom here. Forbearance, which means being patient or not acting out when wronged. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow, how appropriate that we look at this list when talking about retaliation. So let me ask you, are the fruits of the Spirit visible and demonstrated in your life? I want to encourage you to go the extra mile. And number four, we're to be giving freely. Finally, Jesus encourages us to give to those who ask and not to turn away from borrowers. This call to generosity isn't just about money. It's about our willingness to share ourselves and our resources. See, grace compels us to look beyond our needs and to recognize the needs of others. And we talk a lot about this at Calvary with our front yard mission and loving our neighbors. And as we think about generosity, consider this story of Gladys Staines. Vishal Mangalwadi, a Christian leader from India, writes movingly of the impact that Gladys Staines had on his nation. Gladys and her husband, Graham, and their sons had devoted their life to serving lepers in India's eastern state of Orissa. Vishal writes, Gladys was an ordinary housewife, but she stunned our nation by spontaneously, unpretentiously, humbly, and genuinely forgiving militant Hindus for their atrocities. They had burned alive her husband, Graham, and 2 little sons on January 23, 1999. In 2005, the government of India honored Gladys with one of the highest civilian honors, Padma Bhushan. Why should an individual be given a national honor simply for forgiving murders? To appreciate that forgiveness, remember that India's and Pakistan's births as free nations came with the terrible pain of Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, sectarian riots. About 10 million were made homeless. 0.5 to 1 million people were killed, including Mahatma Gandhi. 50 years of secular democracy and education could not free us from this destructive chain of violence and revenge. Hindu-Muslim clashes have burned trainloads of innocent passengers, leading to riots that last for weeks. Frequent riots have reduced Indian Muslims to relative poverty and powerlessness. any successful Muslim businessman as a marked target for the next round of riots. Even sympathetic bankers hesitate to lend to him. So Gladys's simple act of forgiveness became a national phenomenon because it broke this common chain of cause and effect. In city after city, Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Buddhist, Jain, and secular leaders gathered to publicly honor Gladys as a saint to emulate. The government of India was simply the last in line to acknowledge that Gladys Staines is an ordinary woman with an extraordinary spirit, possessed of a spirituality that could heal our nation. Wow, as I listen to that story, I'm so compelled. So what would it look like for each of us to live an extraordinary life of forgiveness like Gladys did? I believe that there would be a lot less hate in this world. In closing, Jesus' words in Matthew 5, 38 to 42, they challenge us to live differently. The words invite us to embrace grace, to respond to hurt with love, to go beyond what is required, and to live and give generously. Now, you might be wondering, why does Jesus ask so much of us? Well, I believe the answer lies in the heart of the gospel. You see, Jesus embodied these principles. He didn't just preach them, he lived them. When he was slapped, when he was mocked, when he was ultimately crucified, he responded with love and forgiveness. He turned the ultimate injustice into an opportunity for grace. And as Jesus' apprentices, we are called to reflect his character in our lives. It's about choosing a different path. Romans chapter 12 says we are not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we are to be transformed. How? How are we transformed? By the daily renewing of our minds and being with God and in the Word of God. So what does this mean for us today? It challenges us to evaluate our responses to hurt and injustice. Are we quick to retaliate, or do we strive to embody radical love? Are we willing to go the extra mile even when it's inconvenient? Are we generous in a world that often hoards and holds back? So today, as we reflect on these questions, let's remember that as Jesus' apprentices, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out these teachings. We don't do this in our own strength, but in the strength that Christ provides. So let's pray for the courage to embody radical love in our daily lives, turning the other cheek, going the extra mile, and giving generously. May we be a reflection of Christ's love in a world that desperately needs it. This is Gritty Light. And it's going to take a radical love. It will take grit. It will take perseverance. It will take patience. And it will take inviting the Holy Spirit to completely lead us. I love what we read in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. It says, "Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established." Perhaps you have lived a life of retaliation. I want you to hear this. There is a way out. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, we are redeemed, which simply means that we can be delivered from sin and its consequences. The Bible tells us to just call on the name of Jesus, and we will be saved. And today, we have this opportunity to celebrate that display of grace. We remember his sacrifice. We remember his forgiveness. His body was broken. His blood was spilled for each of us. Let me pray over us. Father, thank you for what we can learn from this passage today. And I pray over any person who is struggling in the area of revenge and wanting to seek retaliation. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you penetrate our hearts deeply? Would we be people of love and mercy and grace to forgive those who have wronged us? Would it be our desire to be more and more like you, Jesus, each and every day? For it's in your powerful name we pray. Amen.